12 apostles, and the apostle Paul was one of the 12. The book of Revelation says there's only 12 apostles of Christ. And these 12 apostles were given credentials, which were miraculous revelatory sign gifts to authenticate that they were chosen of God to complete the Bible, to write the New Testament. There's no such thing as apostolic successions. And the signs of the apostles have passed with the apostles, but now we still have the substance of the Word of God. And the apostle Paul wrote the book of Romans, and he said in chapter 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Now, the gospel of God is God's good news. And if you're here today, I have good news for you. The book of Romans, if you turn there, chapter 1, right through chapter 16, but we're going to be in chapter 1. God has a letter of good news. And that good news is to us because we are filled with bad news in this world and sinful news and troubling news. And I want to preach this morning a message from the book of Romans called You Are Invited to Receive the Full Gospel. You are invited to receive the full gospel. Now, maybe you've heard charismatics use the term full gospel. Charismatics are people that believe we have the apostles here today, that we still have the sign gifts of the apostles being passed out through their agency. And the Bible is very clear. The foundation of the church were built on the apostles and prophets, but now God is building on that. So I want to borrow that term, full gospel. You've heard that term, full gospel, from those charismatics. And I want to apply it to the fact that we have in the Bible written down God's full good news. And it works today. In fact, Paul, when he wrote about the gospel, he said here in Romans chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 2, 3, 4, 5, he said that the gospel is something that has power. And why does it have power? Because it's about Jesus Christ. Well, why is that so great? Because Jesus Christ is not dead. He is alive. He was raised from the dead, no thanks to Pilate, no thanks to the Jewish religious corrupt leaders of his day who crucified him along with the Romans, no thanks to any of us. He was raised from the dead by the power of God. I led in prayer at the Trump rally here in Wilkes-Barre, and when I prayed, I said in my comment that I said that Donald Trump took a bullet for our country, and he went down on the ground. And he came back up again and said, fight, fight, fight. And that's great. I'm glad. But I said my Savior did something much better. My Savior took our sins and died and went into the earth 3 days and three nights in true death. But up from the grave he arose. And he has power, and it's called the power of the gospel. He says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. This gospel is to the world. That means you today. If you're here today, you're here to hear the greatest news that's ever been given on the planet. I won't lie to you, I was happy when Donald Trump got elected. I was happy when the Senate went for his party. I have been happy for things that God has done, but I want to tell you that compares nothing like my name being written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's nothing. And I thank God for that. And good times on earth may come and they may go, but Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the gospel is all about him, and he is alive. And so you are invited today to receive the full gospel of God. I'm talking about God's good news. Paul said in Galatians, I didn't get this from man. I didn't get this from people. I didn't get this from the other apostles. I got this gospel from Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ actually revealed himself personally to the other 11 apostles, and then Paul, later on, he literally revealed himself to Jesus Christ for about 3 years as he went in the wilderness around Damascus, and he revealed to him the word of the gospel and the fullness of the gospel. So you're invited. You're invited to receive the full gospel. I have two things I want to say about that this morning. Number one, which provides you with the gift of salvation from the penalty of your sins. You know, we have scripture, and maybe you have read in scripture, the Bible says, if the Lord should mark iniquity, who should stand? If God should add up your sins, who would stand before God? Nobody, because God has the power, you see, to hold you guilty for your sin, which you've committed against him. The Bible says, against thee and thee only have I sinned. Our sin may hurt our husband or our wife or our family, and it does when you sin. It hurts people around you. But ultimately, you are sinning against God who made you. You're not fulfilling the purpose of God. And so if God would mark those sins and hold them against you at the judgment day, then you would indeed have to go to hell forever to pay for your sin, no matter how much sin you've done. And so the letter to Romans teaches you that in verse 20 of chapter 3, that by the deeds of the law, nobody can be justified. I tell people, if you ordered a hoagie, how many of you like good hoagies, your own style? Okay, you ordered a good hoagie and you had everything in it you liked. The cheese was in there, the meat you liked, the mayonnaise, whatever you had, everything was in that. It was just perfect. It was, for Jesse, it would be a hot wing hoagie, maybe down there at, where that place is down there. And he's right in North Scranton here. And Jesse's going to bite into that hot wing hoagie. It has everything he likes. And Jesse, there's a dead rat in there, and his tail is hanging out. Would you bite into it? You say, well, maybe they could just put some more cheese to cover him up. Maybe they could just put some more lettuce, more mayonnaise. I'm sorry, you're not going to eat that stinking rat. That's how God feels about one sin that you do. And every sin is like another dead rat, but one is enough to send you into the garbage. You say, what's the garbage? It's hell. Gehenna was a garbage dump outside of Jerusalem. Jesus used the word Gehenna for hell. And things were burning in there that had been thrown away. And God says you become a throwaway because of sin. And guess what? Romans 3:23 says all have sinned and come short. That means you. That means everybody on earth, but it means you. And before God, you're accountable for that sin. And it says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. And in Revelation 20:14, it says the second death is to be cast into the lake of fire. And Jesus said, most people, broad is the way, most people are headed to hell. And the whole world is liable to go to hell and to pay for our sin. And so when you realize that, and if you realize that, it would be good news to you to know that there was somebody that provided for you to be saved from the penalty of your sin. If I volunteered and I said, I'll do it for you. I'll die for your sin. I'll pay for your sin. God would look at me and say, who do you think you are, Randall Craig Bloom? You've done many sins against me. You can't pay for Jesse's sin, even if I volunteer, which would be unlikely. And so maybe you're more generous than me and you would volunteer to pay for somebody's sin. Maybe you could think of somebody's sin that you would die and go to hell for. You can't do it because you have your own sin to pay for. And so, you see, the good news is not that Jesus loved us. The good news is that he loved us and he was qualified to save us. Because he came born of a virgin. He was God in the flesh. That's what it says in Romans 1:1-5. He was God in the flesh, God in human flesh. And he lived as a man and never sinned one time. Not one dead rat in the days of his life. So he didn't have to die and go into the garbage pit of hell. But he went through death and hell when he was arrested and crucified and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he did it because he loved the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That means die and go to hell forever, but have everlasting life. What a blessing of Almighty God that is. And that is the gift that he offers you. And you say, Pastor, how do I receive salvation from the penalty of all my sins? Through simple faith. Faith just simply has confidence in God's promise when you hear it. And you put your trust in Jesus Christ, and he takes care of the penalty of your sin. That's the gospel. But you know what? It's not the full gospel. You say, what are you talking about? What's the full gospel? I speak in tongues and do miracles. And no, those were the signs of the apostles. I'm talking about the full gospel is not just that Christ died and rose again to take care of the penalty of your sin. But listen to me. That wouldn't be enough. That wouldn't be enough. That would leave the drug addict in his drugs. That would leave the homosexual offender in his sodomy. That would leave, you see, my friend, the womanizer and the fornicator and the whoremonger in his fornication or her fornication. That wouldn't be enough. That would leave the drunkard in his alcohol stumbling around and bumbling along. That would leave the thief in the sin of his greed and his thievery. That wouldn't be enough, dear friends. That wouldn't be enough. And so I am here to declare to you today that the true gospel of God is not truncated. That means it's not cut in half. It means it's full. It means that you have a gospel which provides you with a Savior with the gift of salvation, not only from the penalty of your sin, that's great, but from the power of your sin. And so today, I want to say that the Bible says in Romans 5, verse 20, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Now, we've already been talking about that. That means that people in the Old Testament, that Christ had not come and paid for their sins, but they knew a Savior was coming, and so they believed before he came. So when they died, they couldn't go to heaven. Now, they didn't go to purgatory. They went to a place called Abraham's bosom in the center of the earth. No fire. There was a nice place to wait. They were saved on credit until Christ came, and then he paid the bill for those people that went before him that looked forward to his coming. And then when he rose again, he took them to heaven. And I'm just saying to you, those people were saved on credit. But now Christ has already paid that bill. So let's say in your lifetime you commit 1 million sins and you put your trust in Jesus Christ to save you from the penalty of your sins. Are you going to heaven or hell? You're going to heaven. But what if you committed 1 billion sins, way more than 1 million, way more, and you trust in Christ? Is he going to save you and take you to heaven? Yes. Wow. Now how about 1 trillion? That's a lot of sins. Is he going to save you and take you to heaven? Yes, he will. 1 billion, 1 million, 1 trillion. It doesn't matter. Where sin did abound, the Bible said grace did much more abound. You say, what about the law, Pastor? If you keep the law, does that help sin? Well, I have a coal furnace, and if I go downstairs, and I used to burn my coal furnace. I don't burn it now. But I have it. It can be burned. And when I did burn it, it had all that coal dust. How many of you know what coal dust is? And it was all over the floor. And if I took a broom down there and I started sweeping the coal dust, what would happen? It would just stir it up and cloud right into my nose. And I probably did get some coal dust I had to deal with from all those years of burning that coal furnace. But anyway, I'm just saying, you can't have a broom sweep up coal dust and not kick up dust. That's the way the law is. Because your heart is in the realm of sin and you're under the mastery of sin, Jesus said you are now a slave of your sin. You can't break drug addiction. You can't break sexual addiction. You can't break gluttony. You can't break yourself from laziness. You are a slave to your sin. Now, you might be able to trade one sin for the other, but you're still living in the realm and the place where sin is king, and you can't get out of it. And the law just stirs it up. It just stirs up your opposition to it. And that's what the Bible says in Romans 7. No matter how many sins, yes, the blood of Christ, the death of Christ pays for those sins. But that is not enough. We need the full gospel. He died for all your sins. But what is to stop you from continuing in sin and living in sin? In fact, that's what people said to people that heard the gospel. They said, and maybe you would think of it, well, if Christ dies for a million sins, what about a trillion? Well, let me just keep sinning and just have a good time. I'm going to heaven. Let's eat, drink, and be merry. Tomorrow we die and I go to heaven. But wait a minute. That's only half the gospel. Not only did Christ die for all of the sins of everybody that puts their faith in him, but he did something more. Now, religious people at this point will say, hey, that doesn't work. Your gospel doesn't work, Pastor. You're saying that Christ pays for all your sin. If you believe in him, you're guaranteed you're going to heaven. Well, we need something more than that. We need people to know if they sin again, they're going to get in trouble. They got to keep the law. They got to do what the law of God says. And they try to bring law in there. But listen to me, law can never deliver you from the power of your sin. It can't deliver you from the penalty of your sin. But listen, the gospel is a full gospel. If you get saved by Jesus Christ, not only are you saved and I saved from the penalty of my sin because Jesus paid it all, not only did he die for all my sins, but guess what? I died too. You died too. You say, what are you talking about? The moment you're saved, you are spiritually joined to Jesus Christ. When I said I do to my wife, I may not have understood it, but we were spiritually, and we were joined together in a marriage covenant. And we are married. You are married to Jesus Christ when you say I do. By the way, if you're living with a woman and you've not taken your vows before God and man, you're not married, you're just a fornicator, you're living in sin. But listen, when you get saved, you're joined to Christ. Therefore, not physically, but spiritually, when Jesus died on that cross 2,000 years ago, you died as far as what you used to be. You were buried. And when Jesus was raised, you were raised to something new. Now listen to me. You say, what did I used to be? You used to be a fornicator, an adulterer, a drunkard, a drug addict, or whatever you were, a homosexual. But now, you're new in Jesus Christ. You see, your old man died. Now, I'm not talking about your father. My father passed away a couple years ago, sadly. I'm not talking about my father. I'm talking about my final father, Adam. When Adam was on earth, he was given one commandment, and he broke it. He was given one commandment and he broke it. He was under a covenant of works. And if he kept that law of one commandment, he would have eternal life forever. But he broke it. Then after he broke it, he could no longer keep the law. And he was under obligation to all the commandments of God that he understood in his heart, because the law is written in our heart. And he kept breaking them. And not only that, but he was a slave to his sin. He was now living in the kingdom of darkness. And any child born from Adam, you are born in the kingdom of darkness. You can't get out of that place. You say, well, I'll be a good person. That doesn't matter. No matter how good you try to be, the law can tell you to fly, but it doesn't give you wings. And you are still under the law of gravity. You can't live for God. And so you need somebody that could break the power of sin over your life. And here's what the Bible says Jesus Christ did. He didn't just die for your sins. But listen, it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 3, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned in the flesh, sin in the flesh. So what did Jesus do? How would you like to become a rat? You wouldn't like that. But Jesus Christ became a sinful human being to the appearance of other people. He never sinned one time. But he looked like any other man. He looked like one of the sons of Adam. And when he was arrested and put on the cross, God in heaven was condemning Jesus, his son, to death. And he was putting to death what believers were when they were born from Adam, slaves to sin, living in the kingdom of darkness, living under Satan's rule. That had to die. Satan said, if I can get man to sin, then man will be in my kingdom. Man will be under my slavery. Man will not be able to get out from under me. He will be under the power of darkness. I'll be able to see him get addicted to things that are against God. And God said, yeah, that's right. But Jesus is going to take the place of the old man, Adam, and I'm going to condemn him to death. And everybody that is a believer in Jesus, they're going to die with Jesus. And they're going to be buried, which means the old man is done with. Listen to me. When you get saved, old things are passed away. You're not in Adam anymore. You're not a slave to Satan anymore. And when Jesus rose from the dead, that means if you are a believer in him, you're joined to Jesus, so you are forever alive unto God. You are alive to God's presence. You are alive to God's plan for your life. You're alive to God in every way, my friend. You're alive to God's power. The same power that raised Jesus is living in your spirit. I'm saying this is the full gospel. It's not just a home in heaven. It's God at home in your heart. It's you now raised from the dead with Jesus. Not physically yet, but spiritually. That's what the gospel does. If you believe in the Lord, that happens to you automatically, no matter who you are. So that you say, well, how does that deal with the power of sin in my life, Pastor? How does that deal with the power of sin? Well, keep in mind, there was a lady that had a husband, and the husband was constantly using drugs. And it was driving her out of her mind. He had an addiction to drugs. And she would say to him, man, you need to be saved. And he would say to her, I believe in Jesus. But it was a half a gospel. Oh, he took care of the penalty, my sin. No, if you believe in Jesus, he's not only taking care of the penalty of your sin, he breaks the power in your life. Have you ever had that experience? And he would just say that. And so one day he went to church with her and he said, oh, Lord, take the spider webs of sin and drugs out of my life. And he went back drugging again, doing the same thing, driving her out of her mind. A month later, he goes to church with her again. And she goes, what's he going to do? He goes, Lord, in church, take the spider webs of drug abuse out of my life. And she's like, oh. He goes back another month and he's doing drugs, just doing it like he did before, no change at all. He comes back the next week, does the same thing, prays, oh, take the spider. She got fed up with it. She goes, Lord, forget the spider webs. Kill the spider. And not physically, but spiritually, when you believe in Jesus Christ, you die as far as being a slave to Satan, being under the power of sin and being dominated, and you were buried, and you ended that old man, that old relationship, and now you have a new man, Jesus Christ. You're in him. You're alive unto him. But you say, well, Pastor, how come I can still sin then? You can still sin, but you'll sin less. You're not sinless, but you'll sin less. See, sin can't get at you through your spirit because your spirit's born again. It get at you through your body if you let it. See, the world can't overcome sin, but if you're born again, then you can say no to sin in your body because you're raised with Christ. I think of an illustration of a slave that was in early America during the Civil War. And remember when Lincoln came out, how many have heard of the Emancipation Proclamation? Okay, Lincoln came out with the Emancipation Proclamation, and he made it a law that all the slaves are free. Now, by the way, if you believed in Jesus, you died with him, you're buried with him, and you're free from being a slave to Satan. You're free from being a slave to sin. You're free from living in the dominion, in the realm of sin. You're now in your spirit as a spiritual being. Listen to me. You're living in the realm of God. You're living in the realm of grace. You're living in the realm of the Holy Spirit. Grace not only providing forgiveness, but power. Power. And think of this guy that was a slave, and he's been a slave all of his life, and that's all he's known. And he worked in the kitchen of the master. The master, I call him the master. NASA. And the master was a cracker. You know what a cracker is? Somebody cracked the whip out of it. I'm your master. And he gets the Emancipation Proclamation, and it says, you're not a slave anymore. And the master goes to him. His name is Jim. He said, Jim, come over here right now and give me bacon and eggs now. Or I'll crack you with a whip. And Jim goes, in your ear, buddy, I'm free. Amen? I'm free. Free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty I'm free at last. But now here's another guy. He's free too. His name is Bill. Master says that to him, and Bill goes, okay, Master. Did he have to do that? No. He's free. But he did it out of habit. When you're a believer and you sin maybe out of habit, but you don't have to. You don't have to because you're free. That's what Jesus Christ does. He saves you from the penalty of sin. And he breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood did that for me, beloved. And he'll do it for you. And because of that, I will never go back to where Christ was on the cross when he identified with that old sinful man. Because he's raised from the dead, he's never going to die again. And anybody that's in him and believed in him, you're never going to die again. And guess what? Someday you'll say bye-bye to the presence of sin. You say, when will that be? Either, well, I know it'll be simply when Jesus comes back. Because he will save you from the presence of sin. Your body is the only way sin can get at you if you're a believer. And your body will now be perfect and will not be subject to sin. So I'm so glad the full gospel says he saves me from the penalty of sin. He saves me from the power of sin. And one day he'll save me from the presence of sin. He did save me from the penalty of sin. When I believed in him for the first time, he is continually saving me from the power of my sin. When I say no to it, reigning in my body, it can't reign over me as a spirit, as a spiritual being. It can reign over my body, but only if I let it. But one day, thank God, in the future, he will save me from the presence of sin. And you too. Are you too a true believer? If you're a true believer, then you have the whole Jesus. You have the full gospel. Not the one where a guy said, yeah, I believed on Christ, and I know I'm going to heaven, but I'm a drunkard, and I live that way. No, that's not where he lives. D.L. Moody was with a guy that had a meeting. One of the guys that came forward said he accepted the Lord, was in a gutter, and he was drunk, and he had bottles of booze all over him. And the guy said, Mr. Moody, isn't that guy in the gutter one of your converts to Christ? He said, he must be one of my converts because he's not one of Christ. You see, the full gospel not only saves you from the penalty of sin, but he changes your whole relationship to sin. It doesn't mean you're sinless, but you'll sin less. It changes your relationship to sin, and one day it will take you right out of the presence of sin. Thank God. We'll be able to say then, free at last, thank God Almighty, I am free. at last. Amen? Amen. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed. I wonder today, you say, Pastor, I have been saved. I understand what you're saying. My salvation not only saved me from the penalty of sin, but is saving me more and more from the power of sin in my life and will one day save me from the presence. I have believed in Christ, and therefore I know for sure I'm a son of God, a child of God, and that I will be with him forever.